Let me put it in nerd gamer speak, all right? It's like respawn camping, okay? It's to prevent an offensive player from just sitting behind the defense, waiting for someone from the backfield to boot the ball to the other end of the field, and then it's him and the goalie alone. It'd be like you were just sitting where someone's going to respawn and shoot him in the head.
Yeah, okay, so why don't they do that in basketball? It's the same thing. It's just called cherry picking, and it's a great tactic.
Because basketball is generally played man-to-man.
Correct.
And you just stay with him.
Or you play zone.
Soccer is
you
far more zone.
You can play zone, but...
Apparently soccer, too, is man-to-man now.
I think it's man-on-man. Wow.
There's our cold open. Welcome back to Human Reaction, everybody. We have a different format today. I'm here with David Rand, the usual suspects, Kyle Mack, Bennett. But for once, I'm going to be leading a segment.
Let's do it, Joe.
Are we excited
or
what?
Well, and very specifically, it was a surprise. We're in the group chat. What are we going to talk about today, guys? And Joe's like, I got a surprise. You guys can't know.
You know, I just want authentic reactions. And I know that's hard because we're all on the internet and we all see things when they come up. But this one really caught me sideways, and I was caught between wondering if I was living in a simulation and just laughing my ass off at the insanity and absurdity of this situation. So without burying the lead any further, what we're talking about today is how soccer just got gayer.
Gay!
So the 2026 World Cup is coming up. Bennett, you watch the World Cup, right?
I do.
Are you excited that it's going to be hosted in North America this year?
I am absolutely not excited about that at all.
Well, I'm curious why now.
Well, I just hate crowds. So
Going
to any of these places, I think I'm actually going to be in Massachusetts for some of them, and I'm avoiding it at all costs.
Well, I think you should go to Seattle because the real main event is on the West Coast this year. And what I'm talking about is Seattle will be hosting a number of the World Cup events this year, a number of the matches. They'll be all over the U.S., Mexico, Canada. But keeping in mind here, the World Cup is in June. Okay. And what else is June on our calendar, gentlemen?
Pride Month.
I thought we abolished that.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Trump's America.
Can Trump do an EO?
You can't do that.
Oh, that's right. Seattle doesn't. They have like Chaz and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
yeah. They just formed the gay autonomous zone recently to get around Trump's new executive order about banning Pride Month.
Yeah, 10th Amendment stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. States' rights.
States' rights.
I love how Trump is just backdooring all the liberals into libertarian positions. It's kind of fun.
Everyone's a libertarian when they're out of power.
Nothing bad can happen. It can only good happen.
Okay, so to spell this out, Seattle being Seattle and being the progressive woke bastion that it is, decided to, you know, they have some autonomy around these matches. They can brand them however they want, and they want it to be inclusive, of course, so they branded one of these matches Pride Match. Okay, and the teams that were going to participate in this match were drawn at random. So, allegedly,
no one's surprised that Seattle would make this decision.
No,
like, proactively, we're like, we're doing it. Let's make it gay.
Let's you make know? It gay.
Exactly. Soccer, but gayer.
So they brand this match Pride Match. And the teams are drawn at random. And the teams that are selected are, cue the graphic, Bennett, Egypt and Iran. And of course, you can't make this shit up because, I mean, I'm sure you guys already know, but homosexuality is illegal in both of these countries.
So anyway, it was chosen at random.
Yeah.
And of all, how many teams?
How many teams, Bennett?
In the World Cup?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty much like every country on Earth.
Every country. A lot of countries.
No, because you have to qualify. So it's not just, you don't get to just play.
Yeah, so 32 of the people, 32 countries qualify, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, okay. And then I think Seattle only hosts, you know, maybe like 4 or 5 games. So, you know, 16 to 20. No, 8 to 10.
So out of all the teams and all the places that they could have played for this match on this day, which there are multiple matches going on, right, around North America, Egypt and Iran.
48 countries.
So
how many?
48.
48.
48, okay. Yeah. 48, wow.
What are the odds? I don't think this was random, personally. I don't know. I have like a conspiratorial edge about this.
I lied. 48 countries. And then it goes and says that there's 32. So I don't know what's going on.
Got it. Okay.
Anyways,
but it is 32. Also,
out of the chances were 2 out of 32 for this to be a thing. And of course, these are the ones that got matched in Seattle, of all places.
Yes. I mean, yeah, like the odds of it being these two countries that are one in a group together. So this is group play. So the drawing happened, they got matched together. So they're one of four teams in, or I mean, two of four teams in their group. Mm-hmm. And then to be playing in Seattle and then to be playing on Pride Day, is the odds of this are pretty astronomical.
Yeah. And just to correct my correction, it used to be 32. Now it's 48.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
We're getting more inclusive.
Odds are getting better.
It's more inclusive. That's right. That's right.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
So like it just backfired? Like, obviously, this is very controversial for these Muslim countries.
I mean, right? Yeah, for sure. I would say it definitely backfired. It's sort of a question of conflicting interests, right? I mean, Seattle has its own interests in hosting the World Cup, you know, economic development, whatever, and projecting their values as a city to the world or to the country or to their, you know, their cohort. They want to signal their virtues. On the other side of things, Egypt and Iran have their own set of morals and customs, and they don't want to be seen participating in this. In fact, it's been quite an uproar. It was the Iranian, the president of the Iranian Football Federation, Mehdi Taj, is quoted as saying, "Both Egypt and we have objected because this is an unreasonable and illogical move that essentially signals support for a particular group, and we must definitely address this point." I want to give him credit for being extremely diplomatic in that statement.
Well, you can't fuck around with the world's biggest superpower. I feel like, yeah. I mean, global homo's out at the moment, but come back any minute.
You're just one election away from being gay.
Exactly. From having rainbow flag adorned bombs dropped on your country.
Well, this reminds me too of the 2022 World Cup in Qatar. Right? Wasn't that what happened? Where the journalist, didn't a journalist get arrested and he got off the plane and was like super gay about it and was wearing a gay pride shirt and was like, bro, you're entering a Muslim
you're
country.
You're behind enemy lines right thing. Now, bro. A little camouflage would go a long way.
Yeah, I just remember when that drama happened and then he died or something, didn't he? I don't think it was related to that, but he died not long afterwards and it just turned into this whole debacle.
I forget.
I do remember it being a story, but I don't remember what happened to him.
Did he
get arrested?
I think he got arrested. I'll look it up too.
Yeah.
But anyways, tell me about Egypt and Iran's like policies around homosexuality.
Yeah.
In case you don't know.
Yeah, for those that don't know, Egypt is actually less strict about this, it seems. They have penalties for homosexuality. It's not expressly illegal, but you can be imprisoned for what's supposed to be up to 3 years, although I've found evidence of upwards of six for certain cases. And the route that they use, I mean, it's a lot of it is based in the morality laws that they have from, you know, the 20th century, 1937, 1961. But what seems to have happened is in some cases, they've used like cybersecurity bills or cyber safety bills and using dating apps to say that, oh, like gay dating apps should be illegal or this should be illegal because it's presents a risk for debauchery. I mean, that's the whole thing is this culture is very much one of propriety, I guess, in that sense, particularly. They're very strict about that stuff. Mm-hmm. Iran, of course, like strict Sharia law, homosexuality is explicitly criminalized. Penalties include flogging up to the death penalty. And apparently I've seen some evidence of people being thrown off rooftops as a punishment.
It's accused a lot.
Yeah.
And I've seen video. I don't sure if that's actually what the...
I remember old like ISIS videos of that back in the day, but that's always been an accusation in places like Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
I may be misremembering, but doesn't Iran have like one of the higher transgender rates? Because if you're gay, like it's like, more accepted because if you're gay, you could get killed. But if you're trans, you're...
They haven't figured out a law for that one yet.
And there's a pretty big industry around plastic surgery and stuff like that, I believe, in Iran.
Yeah.
That comes with that.
I've heard that too.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So not exactly hospitable countries to this particular lifestyle, which makes me wonder how this is going to pan out, and we'll get to that in a second. But what I found very interesting about this, Seattle just elected a new mayor, Katie Wilson, total communist, as you would expect from Seattle. Interestingly, while the city is grappling with what a lot of other major metro areas on the West Coast are dealing with, which is explosions of homelessness and drug abuse on the streets, and you think the people are kind of waking up to it and they're going to make some change, and then they just don't.
Yeah. Wow.
For whatever reason. Sounds right. You know, these things are more important to them.
She's too busy expropriating someone else's forehead.
I was thinking she looks like the dude from Star Trek.
Yeah, she's got Klingon blood, bro. She's
got this, and it's cranial appropriation, isn't it?
That's some public forehead going on right there. But that is.
Oh my gosh, David, that was too much.
I was thinking about that the minute I saw her, and I've just been waiting.
She looks like Worf.
Boy, you teed that one up good. Katie Wilson is quoted as saying, our city is ready, our fans are ready, and I can't wait. With matches on Juneteenth and Pride, we get to show the world that in Seattle, everyone is welcome.
Who's playing
what an
on
incredible
June-
honor.
Who's playing on Juneteenth? Juneteenth's like Ireland and Scotland.
You can only... I don't know. Is that released yet? Somebody should look that up. Is the team playing on Juneteenth in Seattle... been announced yet? We need to know. Yeah.
It's gonna be like Vietnam and Australia. No, Siberia. Yeah. It's gonna be completely unrelated to you.
Yeah. Interestingly, since the objections, she has not said anything on social media.
I was
about
gonna
this
say,
event.
Can they not just change what day they're like, what teams they have this game for? Like, not See, change the order of these two countries' game, but like change what date the Pride game is on.
Probably, but see, that would be signaling that you know, Seattle isn't prideful in their pride.
Yeah, that's signaling weakness, Bennett.
That's right. That's right.
The Juneteenth game is United States versus Australia.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. It's got some spicy undertones. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, we'll see how that one plays out. I'm sure Katie Wilson will use it as an opportunity to talk about systemic racism. But what she wasn't talking about was how, you know, the Muslim countries that are objecting to this are homophobic bigots, like she would probably say if it were a Western nation doing that.
Yeah, and she can't say that. They're brown.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this identifies this unique problem that we've identified on the left, which is that they can't criticize the Muslim community because they're still their constituents, even though culturally quite different, especially when you go back to the origins of, say, Egypt and Iran. Their cultural practices and policies are completely out of step with modern progressive liberalism in the United States.
That's always been the problem with the left. Like, they had this gigantic tent for so long that's been fracturing apart over the last few years or so. And I think a lot of the reason for that is you have a lot of different groups that they just try to mesh together into one big thing, when it's like these people don't naturally get along with each other. It's just like gay rights and the black community doesn't necessarily,
yeah, or, it goes across lots of different things,
or Islamic immigrants and the gay, like these don't naturally fit together.
Right.
Necessarily.
I mean, another
gays
great one.
For Hamas.
Yeah. Queers for Palestine. Yeah. Perfect example.
Yeah. Another great one is they'll want to do police reform, but they're also union based, and police unions are one of the most powerful unions. So they have this constant...
Can't reform the police and be pro-union at the same time.
Defund the police, but also the unions kind of want that funding.
Exactly. Oh, wow. Big challenge on the left. And these are contradictions that oftentimes don't raise to the level of the mainstream. Like, they just kind of go unseen, often kind of sit behind the political scenes. Unlike the Republican Party's disagreements internally, which are constantly covered from the mainstream.
It seems so, and especially recently. Yeah, you're seeing a lot of the fracturing occur over a lot of issues, you know, foreign policy and all that. How do you guys think this is going to go down? Like, we're on game day. You're in downtown Seattle. Pride flags everywhere. You got Egyptian and Iranian fans in Seattle for this World Cup game.
Do you know who else is in their group?
No,
because,
I don't.
Because, I don't know. I'm kind of like, depending on what game it is of group play, like, both these teams could already, in theory, be eliminated. So they may just boycott it.
Oh, interesting. Mm. That's an unknown
variable.
I don't know
their schedule and how soon into group play it happens and all that. But
Group G is Belgium, Egypt, Iran, and New Zealand.
Very diverse.
I could see...
Belgium and New Zealand could do it.
I don't know about New
Pretty
Zealand.
Gay.
I'm talking about advancing in that group. I mean, Belgium's going to advance. They're one of the best teams. But I would kind of pick, I think, Egypt to advance of the other three.
Okay, so they could at least be half gay, half homophobic.
The prideful Belgium versus the bigoted Egypt.
And if Belgium wins, say it's Belgium versus Egypt, then that is a huge coup for the LGBTQ pride match. I mean, that's going to be The talk of the town all month.
Got those very nice brown people.
Yes. You know what I mean? Like, respectfully, go away. <We won. laughs> Go away with your backwards culture.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I could see, I mean, assuming they both make it, I could see tensions rising on the ground fairly quickly. Because, I mean, you guys have known, we've all seen video of soccer riots and, you know, when a team wins, the fans will riot. If a team loses, the fans will riot. It's just like almost a foregone conclusion that at the end of a soccer match, it's just, it's just everything's on fire. People are falling out of the stands. I mean, it can turn really crazy.
I'm curious, how much of a say does FIFA have in all of this going on right now? Because this is just kind of a city celebration that's not necessarily tied to FIFA, but
as I understood
the game,
it,
yeah, right. So that's like, but they don't have, but FIFA doesn't have decision rights on that question.
As far as I understood it, as I was researching this topic, cities have autonomy to create community involvement around the matches. It's, they don't have any say over who's playing in what, or, you know, any of the actual technical logistical stuff about the World Cup, but they can brand it however they want as a city. So in my understanding, I mean, I don't know if, like, will there be some sort of pride LGBTQ acknowledgement during the opening ceremony? Not sure. I mean, that would be kind of crazy. Like, Egypt and Iranian players on the field as there's some, like, salute to gays everywhere. That could be,
it's
awkward.
Probably like a drag queen singing the national anthem or something.
God, that's a great idea.
Iranians would be like, woo!
I'm very much.
Are we for this or not?
I'm picturing the opening ceremony of France for the Olympics. Kind
of. Oh, yeah, yeah.
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 Very, very fair. Very fair.
Well, because I'm thinking about the FIFA as an organization, as like this corporate structure. I would have to imagine that they would want to, hey, chill. If we're going to be doing this in the city, you got to chill with all of this stuff, because we got a widely diverse grouping of people that are in this tournament, and we don't want to cause commotions in these other countries because of what you're doing.
Yeah, but
like, I would imagine them wanting to put that pressure.
That's going
to
damage their ESG score if they exclude the LGBTQ community.
Yeah, but ESG scores
community.
Are kind of gone now.
But that would be capitulating to capitalism.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, and this is assuming that you know, the global corporate sphere has moved on entirely from sort of the globalist woke ideology that was the entire framework for the last 5 or so years.
Well, I'm also thinking, because the head of FIFA, is it like the commissioner? I don't know FIFA hierarchy structure.
President,
your president, whatever. He's been going around with Trump to all of these geopolitical summits. He's been at a lot of them. Like, I remember when we covered the Saudi Arabia summit and all that stuff. He was sitting there, like, in the main group of people along with Trump, and he's been at all these things. So I'm just kind of thinking about the there's geopolitics that are involved in all of these.
Well,
things
for
too,
sure. Right? I mean, and the other component of it is that, you know, Seattle has had quite a bit of unrest. And again, they have this burgeoning homeless problem and open air drug abuse and tons of crime. And that's one of the cities that's sort of been on Trump's shortlist for policing, particularly as it pertains to hosting the World Cup. Mm. It would look very bad on Trump if the World Cup came to the United States and there was some sort of, you know, social unrest or something that occurred on his watch. So I know that he's made some statements about Seattle saying, if you don't clean up your act, we're going to come in and do it for you, or we're going to take the World Cup games from you.
It'll probably be similar to San Francisco when China came in.
They just pressure wash the streets and push all the homeless down to Tacoma for a weekend. I remember
back when the World Cup was in Brazil, I had a good friend that lived in Sao Paulo, but when the World Cup went to Brazil, that was a huge piece of strife that happened. Was you had all these slums that they just built walls to block the view of the slums, and then they just went in and cleaned all the stuff up, and then once the World Cup was done, everything just came right back to where it was. It just went back to normal, and it caused this commotion of millions of people, of protesters in Rio and Sao Paulo because of it. And then they also had the Olympics like within the same time span too.
Right.
So it was just
like 2 years. Yeah. And that was when, what was the Zika whole thing?
The Zika virus was happening. Yeah.
That was a big concern at that time.
Very similarly, when Beijing hosted the Olympics, you know, they forbade automotive traffic in the city of Beijing for 2 weeks or something before the Olympics
to clear,
to get the smog to clear, so that when all the athletes and spectators came in, it didn't look like this shitty hellhole. Which I don't know if that helped. Is 2 weeks enough to clear Beijing smog? I'm not sure. But anyway, I think it it could have some potential to be a fairly awkward interaction. And I'm really excited. Actually, for the first time maybe in my life, since I was 8 to 10 playing soccer myself, I'm really excited to see how this unfolds, watch a little bit
Joe's
of soccer.
Like that meme with the guy with the stick. He's like, come on, Seattle, do a riot. Come on,
do it. No, I mean, I go both ways on this because having grown up outside the city of Seattle, I've watched it change very much for the worse for the majority of my adult life. And I've moved out, you know, for college and came out here to the safe enclave of Bozeman, Montana, and happy to be here. But it's sad to see a city that I grew up in and around and, you know, hosted sports teams and went to sporting events that I love, I still love. It's sad to see that city devolve and into this kind of weird woke chaos, you know?
Mm. Yeah, it used to be one of my favorite cities in the West, Seattle. You know, Seattle and Denver and all those were nice cities compared to the East Coast especially. Mm-hmm. And then...
Hey.
Anymore. Sorry, buddy. Hey. I went to Boston. It's all right.
Boston's okay.
That's where you got that hat.
No.
You would fit in with that.
Thanks.
You just got to learn to say wicked hard.
Wicked hard.
That is the
How do you like them apples?
That is the thing. We don't really see as much of that in Montana. We're just kind of like we have homeless problems, but it's just not the same extent as some of these major cities. And like I was just in Seattle a few months ago, and just along the interstate, you're just... just homeless people.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Tents, camps, tarps, everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of shocking to go in and see that.
So they're going
to
do what they did in Brazil and just put a wall up so we don't see it.
Well, and that's the thing is, what was kind of weird to me was it's not in this kind of reclusive corner of the city where a lot of people don't see, because a lot of cities kind of have that they do.
For sure.
Our kind of bad zone is over here, but people driving on the interstate, you're not really going to see it, that type of stuff. Yeah. But Seattle is just like, right there. Right, you're just driving anywhere.
Yeah, you can't avoid it. No, I mean, it's all around Seattle Center, where the Space Needle is, and like the Science Museum and EMP, and like it's right in your face. Yeah. Even as a tourist, there's no way to avoid it.
What's so strange about it, especially when you compare it to what happened with China and in San Francisco, or what happened in Brazil, is everyone knows that these are real social problems, but the government is so insulated and so uncaring about the actual norms and values of the everyday person that they only really want to address these issues when it's like an international embarrassment.
Right.
Like they care more about what the international scene thinks of them than the people who elect them.
Oh, for sure.
That's what's so insane about it. Yeah. You know, and it kind of demonstrates the underlying social dynamic that's happening with our government.
Yeah.
I do think there's an element too of the nonprofit class seems to be a lot more dedicated to managing the problem than fixing the problem.
Well, you can't fix the problem because you lose all your funding.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why job proper security. Management of these drug problems and these housing problems is more so the way to go than things that would actually clean up the problem, because you'd be out of a job.
So this game will be the last game of group play for Egypt and Iran. So I wouldn't be shocked if one. I feel like Egypt wouldn't, because I expect them to be in contention to advance, but I wouldn't be shocked if Iran tries to boycott the game or something.
Hmm. How is the structure? I never watched the World Cup, so I don't know how the structure of the tournament works. Are different groups in different cities? Is that
so? I was looking that up. So this is a little crazy, and I get that they're. Because obviously there's usually just one host country. And granted, some countries are much larger. But this is North America. So they're playing in Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. I haven't looked up Egypt yet. But for Iran specifically, they're playing two games in L.A. and then that last game in Seattle. So I would hope they're not doing too much travel, because, you know, I think the last one was like Germany. Hmm. And so obviously much smaller in terms of like travel between games and stuff like that. So I do think like the groups are going to move around a bit. So I think it's trying to spread it around as much as possible, which is not.
I mean, yeah, a lot of travel you'd think would negatively impact their performances, particularly. I mean, these games are a lot closer together. It's not like they have a week between games like you would in, say, the NFL regular season.
Yeah, they're about 5 days apart between group play games. Mm.
Yeah, there's I'm looking. There's Toronto and Vancouver in Canada have games. Mexico, there's Guadalajara, Mexico City, Monterrey. Yeah. And then pretty much every major U.S. city is hosting games, it seems like, across this list. So I wonder, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing. I'll be curious how different cities look on the makeup of how they kind of clean up their cities, because just a lot of these cities have problems. I'll be curious to see what they actually end up doing in order to host these events with such an influx of people coming in.
Yeah,
that's why I'm not excited to be in Massachusetts for it, because they are playing at Gillette Stadium, which is not in Boston. It says Boston. Gillette Stadium is in Foxborough, Massachusetts, which is like 45 minutes outside of Boston in a rural area.
Oh,
and there's
no.
One fucking road to get to the stadium.
Oh, amazing.
So it's going to be a like just a Patriots game sucks. So this
coming
is
from
going,
a Patriots fan.
Yeah, going to a Patriots game, getting there and leaving is the worst thing. So one of these games, like, I have no interest. I want to be as far away as possible.
Small side note for a Patriots fan. Do you think there's any truth to the fact that Drake May
is a Brady clone?
Is a Brady artificial insemination clone from 23 years ago?
Yep.
There's a rumor. It's totally a rumor that Brady like donated some baby juice at some point about 23 years ago
in North Carolina.
And the new quarterback for the Patriots
He's 23.
Years old.
played at North Carolina. Yeah.
Wow.
He's or a Duke, lab baby, straight out of Tom Brady's.
Yeah, North Carolina.
Boys.
Anyways, going back to the other football.
That kind of reminds me of the Yao Ming story, is that he was essentially a Chinese, you know, groomed by the Chinese government to be this incredible basketball star. Like his family was kind of forced to breed together. It was a female athlete and a male athlete. They were like, you guys have to marry, and it was arranged by the Chinese government, and that's how Yao Ming came to be. So it just kind of makes me think of that story.
That is fascinating. I never knew that.
Yeah,
like a government created super athlete.
Yeah,
that sounds like something China would
do. Yeah, because his mom was like above 6 feet and his dad was like 7 feet tall and was a basketball star in like local China basketball, and then you get this gigantic Chinese man with that's Yao Ming.
That's how Seattle works, only you just get gayer and gayer every generation.
Just can't reproduce. Just keep importing gays.
Have we talked about what other games Seattle is hosting?
Not yet.
Aside from Juneteenth.
What do you got?
So on June 15th, they have Belgium versus Egypt. So that's that same group. Mm-hmm. Juneteenth, we did USA and Australia. And then it's our greatest ally, Qatar, versus the UEFA playoff winner. So that has not been decided yet, that whatever country still has to qualify for that. And then the Egypt versus Iran. And then they host the round of 32, which is a single elimination, followed by the round of 16. So
there's a lot going on in Seattle.
A lot of not super friendly or super homosexual friendly countries playing in Seattle.
They're not LGBTQ.
Was someone at FIFA like totally pranking Seattle on this one?
What are the odds?
You know, I mean, like we said,
the odds are not great that this is completely random. But
that's wild.
You know, that just proves we're in a simulation, and it's all designed to embarrass Seattle, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah,
or to get this lady more forehead. I don't know. Gotta get that picture away from me. I can't stop looking at it.
We gotta move on. All right, you guys ready for this last one?
Yes.
This is about how awkward I think the situation in Seattle could be. This is a clip of London Mayor Sadiq Khan, a Muslim, realizing that he was singing about Jesus at a Christmas Carol event in London. It's like, oh shit. It's like, who wrote this? Some staffer is getting fired for this moment. He's like, boy, I'm glad that's over. All right.
So awkward. Is there any more to this clip?
Yikes. That is it.
Old Christian song right there.
That is kind of just the dynamic of multicultural societies, is you end up having these leaders that might not have the same values as a lot of the people that they're representing, and you get these weird, awkward moments like this.
It's part of the fun, though, isn't it?
It's part of the fun.
I mean, as far as entertainment value goes.
It's part of the melting pot that brings us all together.
It's true. It's true. If the whole world is a stage, it's a pretty entertaining show we're watching at this point. Well, hey, that went way more into sports than I expected.
Hey.
But I think we're flexing our well-rounded nature on this show. We don't just talk about politics.
Yeah, go sports.
Sports is all I really That's my only value is that I can bring.
I only pay attention to basketball, so I'm a bit lost when it comes to World Cup dynamics here.
Well, we'll have to do a basketball episode when that becomes relevant. And Bennett, we'll get you involved there, too.
We never really did the FBI NBA stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
That is not something I've followed at all. I had zero interest in it.
Well, and there are a lot of conspiracies within the NFL right now as well about rigged games and players.
There were some weird games this last weekend.
There's been some players doing very strange things at times when their incentives, if they were aligned with winning the game, they would not have done. Hmm. And so you have to think maybe there are some betting situations going on
with the rise of like DraftKings and all the, the sports betting,
Polymarket, Kalshi
manipulating stuff. Yeah, that'd be a very interesting episode. We're talking about like, sports betting.
Didn't Kalshi just partner with like CNN? Did I see that correctly?
I don't know.
I might have totally just made that.
I know Polymarket just partnered with somebody too that was big, and I can't remember what. But that is the thing, is like talk about quote unquote insider trading. If you have direct knowledge or control over something, there's not really any mechanism stopping you from just being like, I'll bet $100,000 on this thing.
Yeah.
Especially if you know the outcome of it.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and even if you control for it, you'd just be like your buddy or your second cousin twice removed does it on your behalf. Right.
And Well, and I mean, to clarify what Ben was talking about, you know, there were a bunch of, coaches, former players, current players, like arrested, around this conspiracy, this betting conspiracy, that they were like rigging games and throwing games and this and that to make a bunch of money. I think it would be naive to think that similar things weren't going on in other leagues, especially when you consider the fact that the NFL, in like as it's incorporated, is not a like sports league; it's an entertainment venture. So,
well, I think you're starting to see more with other leagues. Like There was the Shohei Ohtani thing, which technically that was blamed on his interpreter, which is suspect.
Go into that for people that might not be familiar.
So basically, I think it was essentially the interpreter was betting through Shohei, basically, like betting on baseball, which if you're a professional athlete, you cannot bet on the sport that you play.
Yeah,
you're
Pete Rose probably
shouldn't bet, period, on any sports. And most people suspected that it was actually Shohei, and then the interpreter, who is also his friend, essentially takes the fall for it. But there was something else. I pay very minor attention to anything betting scandal because I just don't care. But there was, I believe, a pitcher for like the Marlins or something who got in trouble this off season for betting and like betting if he'll throw a strike the first pitch or something. Oh, wow. So then he can just throw it in the ground and get whatever
on the downside.
Yeah. So it's starting to come up more. I feel like it's been one-offs here and there, but this was a big one. And the NBA has had a big scandal before with the refs betting.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. So the rise of sports gambling and that, if you want to see us cover that, put a comment below or join our Discord and let us know that you want to check that out. I did check out that the Kalshi is partnering with CNN.
And CNBC.
Wow. Yeah. Big deal.
So very interesting.
Our news betting is going to get interesting if news people get
Let's
into
get sponsored
it,
by Kalshi.
Oh, yeah. Imagine the scandal of there being some sort of corporate press media scandal. Because like, people will bet on Polymarket and Kalshi things like this person at this certain event or speech will say these words and people will bet on that. And you know, if you're just like a primetime news anchor or something, like I could just imagine somebody just being like, doop,
Six,
put seven. It into the script, you know,
throwing the word falafel on there and all of a sudden you get a bunch of money.
Trump makes a big falafel.
Over under on times they call Trump a Nazi.
Exactly. That one might be harder. Could be a lot. All right, guys, well, thank you for tuning into this episode. Guys, thanks for giving me the floor on this one.
That was fun.
Talk about my old city and some some fun gay shit that Seattle's doing. We'll see how it goes. We'll catch you guys in the next episode. Thanks for watching. Thanks for tuning in to Human Reaction. Please be sure to like, follow, subscribe, and give us a review on your podcast platform of choice. And if you want to become a member and support the show financially, check out humanreactionpod.com.